Okay, we're going to read this morning from Matthew chapter 7, and it's going to be the whole of Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice that is in your brother? Oh, I've gone the wrong line. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eyes, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask and it will be given. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? The Golden Rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. A tree and its fruits. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Build your house on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The authority of Jesus. And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Amen.
I'm in a semi-good mood today. Wales won yesterday. Six Nations is still on. But Swansea lost to Southampton. So I'm not in the best place to be a Swansea boy this weekend. But I can't have it all my way, can I? Really excited to be with you. And I'm sorry this morning if my thoughts seem to be going all over the place, but I was in Southampton on our day off on Wednesday, and I sat in Starbucks for 7 hours in the same spot, going to God, you've got to give me, got to keep giving me something. And he gave me so many thoughts, and I thought to myself, how am I going to put these together? And I trust that he's helped me, and we'll go for it. I'm just going to pray before we start. Lord, we need your help as we open your word. Lord, we want you to speak. Lord, would you take away everything of ourselves and help us to focus on you? And Lord, we do pray that we would decrease and you would increase this morning. So would you touch our hearts through your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we had a reading from Matthew 7, but I want to kick off first by looking at the Sermon on the Mount briefly, starting from chapter 5 of Matthew. And Jesus was teaching with authority. I think we can say that. He was conveying a message of authority. He was challenging this first century Judaism with right living, with ethical teaching. And then when we come to chapter 7, the language starts to get very strong. And what Jesus has been doing is weighing up the difference between life and death. Now, this is a decision that carries a huge amount of significance, not only personally for ourselves, but in the way that we evangelize to others. And I want to start off chapter 5 of Matthew. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 5, we see God's people referred to as a city on a hill. And from verse 13 of Matthew, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I'm just getting a timer up so I don't go on and keep you all afternoon. Now, this is an incredibly challenging verse. And first of all, Jesus says, you are a city, or a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, a town on a hill. So there's this image of a mountain, this hill. Now, what do we know about mountains? Yes, they're big. They're high. But the main thing is that you cannot escape it. Once you see a mountain, you see it straight away. You observe a mountain. It's there in front of you. And we are the city on top of that. And what Jesus is saying is that we are being watched. That we are being observed. And for me, that's incredibly challenging, because is my life as a follower of God a good representation of Jesus? If I am standing out this much, what do people see in me? And then we come into chapter 7. And he kicks off the passage by saying, anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice. It's not just anyone who hears the words full stop. It's not. We've got to take that second bit of that passage and puts them into practice. Now, I so often can sit in church, and I so often do, and I hear God's word preached, and it doesn't change me. Does it change us when we hear God's word? Does it challenge us? Now, what Jesus wanted his disciples to do was to listen to his words and to take action, was to go and go out and make disciples. And he'd been teaching them how to live in the right way, referring to Old Testament teachings. And he was showing them, this is the way you should live. And the question that kept coming to my mind is that if I say that I follow Jesus, this might not make sense initially, this question, but if I say I follow Jesus, why don't I? Because following Jesus isn't just picking up my Bible every now and then and reading a passage. Following Jesus is picking up this word, is reading it, and is taking it in. And chapter 7's, I was quite scared reading chapter 7, and I remember as a kid reading it. Because what Jesus has been doing is he's been talking about right ways to live. And just before he comes on to talking about building on a solid foundation, he talks about us needing fruit in our lives. He talks about two ways to live, a narrow way, a narrow gate, and a wide path. Now, I don't know about you, but I so often look at my life and I question, what path am I on? Truly, what path am I on? Because if I am not putting God's word into my heart and using it, what am I to Jesus? Am I any good to Jesus? And now as a kid, I used to hate being under authority. I used to hate it. And in school, I used to get into school. And when a teacher would say, you know, right, sit down, do this, do that, do your homework by Friday, I used to think, no, I'll do it by the week after. It's okay. And in my house, my parents were very much my house, my rules kind of parents. And I hated it. I hated it, to be honest. And as a kid, I always used to question, why do I need to be under your authority? I've got everything worked out myself. Such an arrogant little child looking back. Is my Christianity the same as that? Do I like being under the authority of a man that the world would say is dead and that we would profess as alive? Because these disciples, they'd walked with Jesus. You know, Matthew 8, straight after this passage in Matthew 8, Jesus calms the storm. He speaks to demons. He casts them out of people. He forgives sins of people. Now, back in that day, to see a man do that would have been mind-blowing. And these disciples, you can only imagine what's going through their head. They're going, can I really trust this guy? And I come back to the same point. Why am I so afraid to follow Jesus when he's done incredible things throughout history? Why? This was a man that spoke with incredible authority. This was a man that did incredible signs and wonders. Yet in my life, I am afraid to submit to him. I'm afraid to give him 100% submission. And the question then I want to pose is, do we really believe in the Jesus of the New Testament? This same man that did all these incredible things, that forgave sins, that raised the dead. Do I believe in him? Do I believe in that same man today? Because if I do, that changes everything. If I believe in that same Jesus, then my life will not be the same again. And back on in Matthew, and I'm going to focus on Matthew a little bit now, as in the disciple, the character. And Jesus came up to him and posed two very short words. And you can imagine Matthew as a tax collector sitting in his little booth with his bags, his coins, counting out people's taxes, knowing that society around him hated him for what he was doing. And Jesus comes to him and quite simply says, "Follow me. Follow me." Now, what did Matthew do in this situation? He could have done two things, really. We know what he did from reading the passage. He did get up, but he could have easily have said, "My job's okay. I know people hate me, but you know, I'm getting an income. I'm quite happy." No, but there's this picture that Matthew stands up, pushes the money aside, and walks out of the booth to follow Jesus. That he gave up everything to follow this man. And I'm not saying that we should give up our jobs to follow Jesus, because God can call us anywhere. But it's that heart of, I'm leaving everything behind because I know that this life that I'm living right now is nothing in comparison to following Jesus with all my life. Now, when we hear the word of God, we hear it quite often. I hear it quite often. And being in Bible college, you hear it every single day. But there's this, Jesus here says in chapter 7, verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." And God kept asking me the same question. I was sitting in Starbucks with my headphones on in my own little world, and God was saying, "Are you truly hearing and doing, or are you just hearing?" Now, I'm going to say this, that Satan doesn't mind if we read scripture and that we feel convicted by it, but we take no action, because we're no threat if we take no action to the works of Satan. But that's this comparison that Jesus makes. But if we do put it into practice, then he runs, because he realizes the authority that we have. And I look then at the feeding of the 5,000, and I see what Jesus did with a boys' packed lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed a multitude of people. And God kept saying over and over again, "Just think what I can do through you if you just give me that pocket full of faith." If we can just pick up a pocket full of faith and say to God, "Here it is. Take it and do what you want with it. I want to follow you." John Ortberg, it's a great quote that stuck with me for the last 2 years. He said that we spend too much time arguing about Christianity instead of marveling at Jesus. Too much time arguing about things that don't matter instead of marveling at Jesus, instead of following Jesus. If we truly believe that Jesus is who he said he was, then we need to take action. Now, Jesus, we can see, is more than a prophet. He's more than a great teacher. He speaks with authority. In Matthew 7:24, we read that he says, "These words of mine." It's possessive. He's saying, "These are my words." And the same phrase is used in verse 21 to equate his own words with his Father. So what Jesus is doing, he's saying, I'm God's son. We cannot be content in calling Jesus a great teacher because he taught that he was more than that. And so often I take some teachings that I like and I leave the ones that I don't. And when I was reading this passage, I was struck again by the fact that too often in my own life, and I don't know how you might feel, but we take what we want and we leave the rest. But we can't do that because Jesus said it. And to make Jesus Lord of your life requires total submission to him. And then coming on to the passage of building on a solid foundation, the image that we have is of a Syrian mountain ravine. There's this imagery that there's this mountain country with a torrent bed sometimes more than half a mile in width. In the plain of the mountain are dry in the summer, and there's a level waste of sand and stones and dirt. And that's what the foolish man builds it on. That's what he builds his house on. But then when the rains come, he's stuck in this valley and there's no escape. The torrents come straight through and sweep the house out. He thought it was dry. He thought it was okay. But in the end, it wasn't. And then there's this picture of a guy who actually decides to build up on the side of the mountain, out of the rock on the side of the mountain, and decides, I'm going to build my house here. Because when the waters come, they're not going to hit me off. I'm secure here. And the picture that we often associate this with is the water and the rains are the storms of life. Now, when I was 15 or 16, about 16, I was 16, it was in August, I went through a really, really tough time. I had a really close friendship group within my church. There were six of us, three boys, three girls. So close we were. Satan got in and destroyed it all. And for me, in the context I was in, I struggled in school to make friends. And I thought I had this great friendship group that would always be with me, that would always stick by me. And it was gone. And my life seemed to be sweeping away. I didn't know what to do with it. I was getting caught in this torrent, in this valley. And it was going down. What do I do? What do I do? And I went to Soul Survivor, a Christian festival in Somerset. And I remember God breaking me down. And I stood there as a 16-year-old, crying out to God, saying, these were the only friends I had. Why take them away from me? And as I was standing there with my eyes closed, crying my eyes out, I felt a hand on my shoulder. So I turned and I checked to see who was coming, maybe to pray for me. But there was nobody there. So I closed my eyes again and I continued to pray. And then out of nowhere, this picture in my head, this vision. And it was Jesus standing behind me. And it was Jesus with his hand on my shoulder. and before me was a throne and a stairway. And Jesus came around from touching my shoulder, and he uttered the same words that he uttered to Matthew. He uttered, "Follow me." And in that moment, I realized that all that I had lived for, building all these friendships, did not matter. Because Jesus, all Jesus wanted was me to follow him and to go with him on this journey. Now, are we in a position where we can say that we are taking Jesus' hand and allowing him to direct our lives and allowing him to take us towards the throne, towards the end goal that Paul so often talks about in his writings? Is that all that matters is living for Jesus and reaching heaven where we will see him face to face? And now I look around, and so often in Christianity we settle for this mediocre living. Jesus has so much to offer us, and all we do is we go for the bare minimum because we don't want the life that he offers. And that was me for so many years. And in the end, I had to make a choice. I was faced with a choice. Do I follow this Jesus? Do I follow this Jesus? Do I carry on the way I am? And then I looked at the way I was going. I was being swept away by life. But it was Jesus that rescued. Now, there are similarities between the builders. They both built a house. They both hear Jesus' teaching. They both experience the same circumstances. The main difference is that one followed and one obeyed and one did not. Are we obeying this morning? Are we obeying the call to follow Jesus? Because we're being watched. The world around us watches us, and it looks to see what these Christians are all about. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a good representation for Jesus. Because this is not just a great man. This is not just a great teacher. This is not just a prophet. But this is a man that changed the world. Not only changed the world, he changes lives. And sometimes I'm so content in sitting down in church, hearing the word, and I still don't follow. And then I look to Jesus and I see a man that gave up everything. Everything. Yet I still don't follow. Now, my friend once posed me a question during a Bible study. We were studying the book of Jonah. For those of you that know the story of Jonah, God called him, but he didn't listen. And his life seemed to be spiraling out of control until he decided to trust God. And my friend said to me, there was four of us, he turned to us and he said, "If God called you to go to reach out to ISIS, would you go?" And I sat there and I looked at him and I said, "No, I wouldn't. It'd be too tough." And that's how I knew that I wasn't walking in the way that I should have. I'm not, so that's quite an extreme illustration of looking at it. But it made me realize How willing was I to follow? We were told to go to the ends of the earth. Was I willing to go to the end of the earth to follow Jesus? The answer in that moment was no. And to be honest, if God did call me there right now, I'd still struggle to say yes. But knowing how much Jesus has done, and knowing who he is, and knowing that following him is the only way to truly live, I know that I'd have to do it. I'd have to do it. Because I don't want to get caught up in these torrents of life, these storms of life. I want to follow a man who gave up so much. So are we truly following Jesus? Do we take his words carefully? Do we trust his words? But more importantly, do we act on his words? Now, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. We're all called. As followers of Jesus, we are called to follow Jesus. And all he wants is obedience and availability for us to be available to him and to be available for him. So are we available? Are we obedient? Would we follow wherever he calls? And would we put his words in?